In this episode of the GeoDatabase Talk, we're going to discuss subtypes. Why did ISRI come up with the concept of subtypes in the GeoDatabase? What are the benefits of subtypes and where can we use them? And where this artifact is going? This is coming up next. Hey guys, it's Hussein. Before we jump to the podcast, I just want to share with you some exciting news. I just published my new Kindle book on November 18th titled Learn GIS Programming with ArcGIS Online and the JavaScript API 4.9. That's the latest and greatest shiniest stuff. Been working on this book for 6 months and I'm so excited that it's finally done and it's there. This book is designed for entry-level developers who are interested in building web applications on top of the ArcGIS Online with the JavaScript API. You don't have to have programming knowledge, or you just have to have like very, very basic programming knowledge. This book is written for Linux, Windows, and Mac users. Check it out, it will mean the world to me. Thank you very much. Check it out, www.husseinnasser.com. I'm gonna put it in the description in the podcast. And with that said, let's get on with the show. What's up, y'all? This is your host, Hussein Nasser from iGeometry Podcast, where we discuss software engineering and GIS by example. Today's topic of the GeoDatabase Talk. I think this is episode number 12 or 13. I'm not really sure. It's been a while since we've done one of those. I'm going to discuss about topic of subtypes. I mean, if you're working with the ArcGIS platform, you know that you might have used subtype in a way or another. But in order to talk about what subtypes are, we need to go a little further back and talk about kind of the basic principles of a table, right? And what did the ArcGIS platform introduce to improve that? Okay, so we know that in a database we have tables, correct? We create a table and then the ArcGIS kind of copied that to still create a table on the geodatabase, and that ends up as a table in the database, in the physical database, right? Whether you're a file geodatabase or shapefile or an enterprise geodatabase like Postgres or SQL or Oracle, it ends up eventually as a table, all right? And that table, you can add field, that obviously still adds a regular field, all right? Fields has type, could be an integer, short integer, long integer, could be a string, and that obviously the storage type of that differs from database to another. Like if you say it's a text, it's varchar to an Oracle, but it's something else in Postgres, right? And so on. Cool. All right, so we have fields, right? And that's fields have default values in the database, correct? Optionally. So you can set like to create a field in a table, and whenever you create a row, if no value was supplied in that insert statement, please use that default value. And that default value could be 0, could be 1, right? And whatever, could be whatever the data type, okay? And that worked well, right? It worked very well, actually. So in a particular table, I can set my own default values for that, for every field, essentially. Okay, so there there are limits to what database can offer you. And that is up to the application, which is ArcGIS, can offer more. And that where the concept of domains came. So a domain is, it's not a database concept, it's a geo database concept, where you can create a set of, think of it like a table, a coded value, right? So you have a code and you have a value, a description for that value. And that is very beneficial because now users, instead of typing certain values for a field like 1 or 0 or 50, right, they can just pick from a list. Oh, I want California or Florida or any other states, right? Okay, so Washington, and you can pick up any states, like, and then that will correspond to a number, and that will get stored in the database. Okay, so that kind of make things easier for the editor. Instead of typing a number, I have to remember what number corresponds to what value. I can pick a list and kind of minimize errors too, right? If you think about it, I no longer can write stuff as I wish and please. It's a list, a well-defined list, and that list will contain these values. Okay, this is again a geo database concept, right? So the tricky part of this is these were defined. If you have a feature class or a table in a geo database, you can, for a given field, you can only set one domain per field. And obviously one default value per field. All right, that's the limitation. Okay, and we noticed that people actually wanted to set more default values based on what kind of feature they are creating. So let's try to think of an example. Okay, so let's say I have a building feature class, and I want to, every time I create a building, I want to set these default values. Okay, and I want to have for this particular field, I want to have these domains. Okay, however, this really kind of depends, these values, these default values and these domain, but I promise, guys, I'm gonna get to the point. I know. Like, I'm trying to just like try to like paint some sort of a history here, right? And yeah, so what we have is these kind of values. Like we create a building, and if it's type residential, there are certain standards for residential building, and you want to kind of expose these to the users. Okay, so like if it's a residential building, these are the kind of dimensions that users have to make that. So there's a specific domain list, right? And there's a specific default values for certain fields. If it's a commercial building, it's totally different list. It's totally different default values, okay? And obviously one solution to this is, hey, create two feature classes, one called building and one called commercial building and one called the residential building. And set obviously your default values according, but that's a hassle, right? Why should I? It's the same thing. It has the same exact field. Maybe it has additional fields, but it doesn't really matter. Right? So that is why ESRI introduced in the geodatabase the concept of subtypes. It says, you know what? We're gonna add in each feature class a subtype. Okay, and the subtype is a kind of a discriminator for your feature. Okay, so if you create a feature, you have to assign it a subtype. Quote unquote, have to. I'm not gonna go through this. But let's say if you select a subtype for this, you get to define different domains, different field default values, different precisions for every subtype, which is pretty cool. So now you can have your own feature class, right, called building, and you can create two subtypes, residential and commercial, right? And then for the residential, you will assign the type field of the building is I don't know, a certain domain, right, which has these lists, this requirement, all right, these standards, like colors, maybe you have to have these kind of colors, depends on the city, depends on the county, right? And then and so on, right? So you can select different domains, and that's where the power of subtypes come in, really. So you can start defining really, and what they essentially, the utility network did is took this concept of subtypes and pushed it to the extreme, right? So the ArcGIS platform started to do more and more with subtypes, with the introduction of the subtype layer, right? The subtype layer is a pretty cool concept that was introduced, I think, in 2.0 or 2.1, not Pro ArcGIS Pro 2.1. And that what it did is instead of having a multi-level renderer, right, or multiple layers point to every residential, every single subtype, you will have one layer, and that layer is smart enough to fetch all your subtypes instead of issuing multiple queries, right? Because it all lives into one feature class at the end, right? If you think about it, so that took us to that. Forces the application to innovate more on the subtype level and start beefing up the subtype, right? And obviously, this is a pure geodatabase concept. It doesn't exist in the database. If you look at the database, you'll not see it. You'll see something else. It's stored somewhere else, right? Obviously, everything is tables and rows in the database, but the geodatabase is smart enough to actually bubble this up in this way as subtypes. And the subtypes are becoming started to spread into the whole ArcGIS platform, like the WebGIS, the JavaScript API, start learning more about it. It's gonna take time to bubble up into the whole entire platform. The collector is aware of subtypes, right? To a certain extent, and I think it's aware. Survey123 is aware of subtypes and the benefits of that, and then the details of that. Subtype layer is still bubbling up to the platform. It's the only consumer of subtype layers. Is actually a pro. Try using it. Play with the subtype layer if you didn't before, right? If you have any question, guys, right? I'm using this for the podcasting. I'm using this application called Anchor FM. Just literally download it in your iOS and Android, and just look for me there. And you can leave me a voice message, right, with your question. And if your question is interesting enough, I might actually use it, right, to pick up and actually create another episode answering that. All right, I'm gonna pick up as many questions as I could. Obviously, there's a lot, but if your question is really interesting, definitely just ask me any questions you want. I'll pick up the good questions, and I'll start just like create another episode just to actually maybe answer those in that episode, or make another episode, or just like take a section, just talk about, answer these questions, which will actually will be very good to have other people, like if you have a question, most probably a lot of people have the same question, right? And it's good to like spread the knowledge. All right, guys, that's all for me today. Hope you had wonderful holidays. Happy New Year. If I don't create another podcast until the new year, I'm not sure about that. I'm still trying to find some time there. But do let me know if you have any questions. Again, use this Anchor app. It's pretty cool application. And even you can start your own podcast. It's pretty cool. You have a lot of ideas and for them. And I didn't know that... I didn't know that by me just started talking and just discussing, a lot of people actually listening to the podcast. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. I'm going to see you in the next one. You guys stay awesome. Goodbye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.